too would like to say good morning and greetings to each one in Jesus' name. It's good to be back here, Pine Creek again, and worship with you. I know there's a lot of new faces here, and but it brings back a lot of memories that I think about worshiping with you again today. I was challenged with the songs that we sang this morning, and the song How I Praise Thee, and just the way that we agree or we share in that song, that those things that come from our lives, the good things that come from our lives, are simply the results of Jesus. I shouldn't say simply, but they are the results of Jesus in our lives. And the good things that should be going out in our community, they're the results of what Jesus has done in my heart and in your heart. And otherwise, our time here today and in this community is really of very little good. But if Jesus is in our hearts and we're truly channels of His grace, then we can truly impact the community. I want to bring greetings from the Lenawee congregation as well from Southern Michigan, and invite you to stop in and worship with us as you have the opportunity. There's a quote that's been going through my mind recently quite a bit, heard it a number of times, and I'm just going to share that quote this morning. We're going it's the quote that stirred my heart as I thought about what to preach here today. This quote, it's a proverb, it's a Chinese proverb, and it goes something like this: "It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." And that got my mind, that quote's been going through my mind, it got my mind going, and I got to thinking about this concept of light and what light is. I'd like to just turn now to Exodus chapter 10, and this set of verses here are not going to tell us what light is, but it's going to get our minds thinking about what the world is like without light, and we're going to use it as a bit of a springboard to begin our thoughts for the message here this morning. You're going to notice in Exodus chapter 10 that we're in the middle of the plagues. We have the plagues when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and we have Moses, and God has called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's there, and he and Aaron are attempting to persuade Pharaoh to let them go. And we're in the middle of the plagues here, and we're just going to read a couple verses here in the middle of Exodus chapter 10. We're going to break in at verse 21. "And the Lord said unto Moses," Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any of them from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Now there's something that is intriguing about this account here and the description of darkness that is sent here. Notice here that he says it's a darkness that could be felt. It's a darkness that could be felt. And it seems like it was a darkness that was deeper than any natural darkness anyone had experienced. We notice in verse 23 that it says that they saw not one another, neither arose from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now we know that the Egyptians were people who were, I think they were a progressive country. And I'm sure they knew what it meant to have lamps in their houses. But this darkness that they experienced was a darkness that overcame the natural attempt to dispel it. It overcame the natural attempt to dispel darkness. And there was no way for the children, the people of Egypt, the Egyptians, to get rid of the darkness. And they were forced to sit there and complete darkness, and they couldn't even see each other's faces. It was that dark. But the intriguing point is, it says in verse 23, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. You know, today the world around us is full of darkness, and it's increasingly becoming darker. And I want us to think about this darkness here that the Egyptians faced, and the reality that if without the presence of God, the darkness becomes so dark that there's nothing in a natural sense that can overcome that darkness. The proverb that we read, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. You know, today we live in a world that's increasingly becoming darker. And we as God's people can put our efforts into identifying the darkness around us, or we can choose to focus on doing our part to make sure that the light of God is shining brightly from our lives. And we want to think about that here this morning. I want to also turn now to Psalm 18. I want to use this as our theme verse. It's not necessarily a text verse. But as we think about the darkness that could be felt and the fact that God's people had light in their dwellings, I thought about this verse in Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28 says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I want to use that as a theme verse this morning for the message. I've simply titled the message, Be a Candle, Be a Candle. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I want to think about two simple questions in the beginning of the message here. As we think about this idea of being a candle, what is light is the first question I want to think about. And where does it come from? What is light and where does it come from? Now, I know that some of you, I'm sure you're in school and you studied about light. Does anyone want to give us a scientific definition? What did you learn in science? Did anyone learn that last year in school? Do you have any school teachers here that taught it? What is light? I'm going to give you the Webster's dictionary definition for light. It says, light is something that makes vision possible. And then it goes on and says, the sensation aroused by stimulation of the visual receptors. We know the visual receptors are with our eyes. Electromagnetic radiation of any wavelength that travels in a vacuum with a speed of 186,000 miles per second. Specifically, such radiation that is visible to the human eye. And that definition might mean a lot to you. Maybe you're more scientific than I am. But it simply means it's something awesome that we don't quite really understand. We enjoy it. We experience it. But I don't have the intellect to really get a grasp on it. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, we start in Genesis chapter 1 at creation, and we start on the first day of creation, and Genesis chapter 1, we know, begins with, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and it says that the earth was without form and void, there was chaos, it wasn't organized, it was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then we have in day one, God says, let there be light. And there was light. That happened in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So light is the absence of darkness. Light is the absence of darkness. Light is an attribute of God. I believe that's another point that we need to think about when we think about what is light. Light is the absence of darkness, but light is also an attribute of God. And one of the things I want us to think about, that we learn it in the creation story, but we don't really realize it when we read that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But we go on and we read a number of verses and we get to day 4 and God says, "Now we're going to create today, let there be a sun, let there be two lights in the heaven." We got the sun and we have the moon and we have the stars, and that happened on day 4. And so God is, light is an attribute of God. God created light before he created the sun. It's an interesting thing that we think about what is light. We could look at a number of verses. I'm just going to read several verses that talk about what is light, that God is light, that is an attribute of God. Psalm 140, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." So here we have David, and he's talking about the greatness of God, and he said God puts on light. He covers himself as with light as a garment. Like we put a coat on. That's an attribute of God. Light is. We could also turn to Revelation, the book of Revelations. And we know as we read in the book of Revelations and we get towards the end of the book, we have two different times when John says that there's no need for the sun because the Lamb of God and God is the light thereof. He says in 21 verse 23, "And the city hath no need of a sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So we have God the Father, God the Son, and they're the light that is in eternity in heaven. Revelation 22 verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And so this morning, as we think about these two questions that we ask, thinking about being a candle and thinking about light, what is light? What is light? Where does it come from? God is the creator of light. God is the giver of light. And all light originates with God. "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will lighten my darkness." And so David, as he penned those words, he realized that all light, whether natural or spiritual light, the source of that light comes from God. God is the source of that light. Well, I want to look at just 4 points this morning in the message here, thinking about being a candle. 4 practical points, and we already alluded to the first one here. We're going to just maybe zone in on it a little bit more. But point number one, true light comes from God dwelling in our hearts. True light comes from God dwelling in our hearts. And David seemed to understand this truth, and he said, "For thou wilt light my candle." He understood that there was a lot of good things he could do in this life, but if he was going to be a light to this world, if he was going to truly shine, if his life was going to warm and brighten the earth in a positive way, then he needed to have God in his life. And so he said, "True light comes from God, for thou wilt lighten my candle." He talked about going to New York City yesterday and the many who were there that don't know the Lord. And many times we talk about, as we think about a place like New York City, or we take a large city like that, and we talk about the need for the gospel there, and we talk about the reasons why we're a little nervous about starting a church in there and moving our families in there because of the darkness. Because when you get a large group of people together who are resisting God and who don't know God, darkness seems to go wild and it gets rampant. And the influence is real and deep. And as Christians, we understand that we're not part of the darkness. We need to be part of the light. But this morning, I want to just think a little bit about this fact. True light comes from God dwelling in our hearts. You and I, we were raised in Christian homes. We were raised in good families. But without the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, without God doing a work in our hearts and being washed in the blood and the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, we don't have light. True light comes from God dwelling in our hearts. Back in Isaiah 9, verse 2, Isaiah wrote these words here in Isaiah 9. I'm just going to read one verse here, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. And we could go, so the people that walked in darkness had seen a great light. He was talking about the Gentiles there. We talked about that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The people that walked in darkness saw great light. John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, in him, it's talking about Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We also have another verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 36. And Jesus was teaching there, teaching the people. And he said, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And so he's talking about the reality of the changed life and the product of Jesus doing a work in our hearts and how it changes, I think, even our facial expression and gives us something to reflect love and light to the world around us. But this morning, we're just thinking about this. True light comes from God dwelling in our hearts. What is our light? Is it our Mennonite heritage? Is our light our Mennonite heritage? Well, it's a positive thing. Is our light our conservative lifestyle? Certainly, we're thankful for those things. But this morning, I want to just say very simply that the light this morning comes from God, and it's Christ living in us. God dwelling in our hearts is what lights our candle, and the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in us is what shines forth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so our Mennonite heritage and our conservative lifestyle is a result of the light doing a work in our hearts. And I believe it truly is a fitting response to the work, but it's not the source of our light. And that takes us to the second point that we want to look at this morning, thinking about being a candle. True light illuminates our pathway. True light illuminates our pathway. We know the verse there in Psalm 119 where it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We know, I think all of us who've been around the Bible very long, it's one of those simple verses we learn pretty early on. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. And that tells us there, like we heard in our devotions this morning, that we need to be growing. That it says the path of the just is as a shining light. We're moving forward. And as we obey God today, and as we read his word and we allow it to change our heart today, and it moves us in a direction. And we learn from God today and we go forward. The path of the just is as a shining light. We learn our way as we go. True light illuminates our pathway. Psalm 119 verse 30 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And so we see this again, that true light illuminates our pathway. The entrance of thy words, when we pick up the Bible and we read it, it's like getting up in the morning and turning the light switch on. It keeps us from stumbling and gives us direction, shows us the way we should go. True light illuminates our pathway, and we move forward. True light illuminates our pathway. It illuminates the way God would have his people to move forward. I'd like to just think about our little proverb there. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. True light lights a candle, and human light tends to curse the darkness. True light lights the candle. Our tendency is to point out the evil around us and to declare it as such. We see needs in the lives of our brothers and sisters, or we see the evil in the society around us, and we get concerned about building walls and separating ourselves and declaring the evil that we see around us. But God is calling us this morning as Christians to be light. And as we read the Word of God, true light will make us be a lamp. And we'll give option, we'll give solutions to the problems rather than just identifying the problems we see around us. We could spend hours pointing out the deficiencies in broken homes and the chaos that follows, or we can simply model the blessedness of a family who loves and cares for each other. And I could stand up this morning and I could preach on the street corners out here about the evilness of an alternative lifestyle. And sometimes I think God calls us to do that. But I could stand on the street corners, or you could stand on the street corners, and we can preach about the evilness of society and the movements that we see around us. Or we can simply be a bright witness to a quiet acceptance of the gender roles that God has given us. Just use that as an example. And show to the world by a quiet life and a clear light the gospel and the freedom that comes in accepting God's will for our lives. Number three, true light invites others to experience the light. True light invites others to experience the light. God does not intend us to live here and to have his word and to be saved and to get into our little cluster, our little group, and have an inward facing, self-serving heart. But true light, the light of God, if it's done a work in your heart, is going to move you with the compassion for the lost around you. Second Corinthians chapter 4, there's just two verses I'm going to pull out. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you may. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thinking about true light invites others to experience this light. I'm just going to start reading in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So the gospel, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the story of Jesus Christ, and it's the story that embraces this cleansing power of Christ in our hearts. It changes our hearts and makes us new creatures and helps us, fills us with the Holy Spirit, which gives us light. Gives us life and light that we talked about. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How's it going to do that? Through you. That's what it's going to do. It's going to shine to them. It's going to shine into the world, not in a supernatural way, not a light from heaven like shone down onto Paul, although God could do that, but it's going to shine through you. Or else it's not. True light invites others to experience the gospel. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. I'm not trying to take that last verse out of context, but I think what God is saying is, I want you to be, or Paul is saying to the Corinthians, and God is saying, telling them that through Jesus Christ, is, I know you're not perfect. He's saying, he's doing it through the treasure of earthen vessels. I know you're not perfect, but I want your life to be a light in your community. True light invites others to experience that light. We know the verses in John chapter 3 when Jesus was teaching, and he says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. So he's talking about himself. He's saying, I am the light of the world. I'm here. Light is coming into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. True light invites others to experience that light, which is Jesus Christ. True light shines forth. It has a warmth with it. It has a warmth of it. For many, the invitation to experience the new birth is not made clear with words. We can stand on the street corner and we can preach Jesus. We can preach about the cross. And to many, those words fall on deaf ears, and it doesn't ring right. It doesn't sound true to them. But when they see a life that has been changed, and when they experience the love of forgiveness and the compassion of an individual who is truly walking with Jesus Christ, who has changed in their hearts, it has a warmth with it that can touch a heart and opens the door for sharing that light with those around us. Fourthly, true light creates a blessed experience. True light creates a blessed experience. I thought about their Sunday school lesson this morning and the conflict and the wrestling that went along with the apostles and disciples. They're the apostles in the early church, and they're trying to figure out, find their way. And I don't think it was wrong. I think it's part of life, that we are going to face times in church life where we need to get down on our knees and we need to work through hard things. But as we think about God's work in our hearts, true light creates a blessed experience. And I thought about the verse back in Psalm 89, verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What was the joyful sound they were talking about? Well, I get the picture. I'm not sure if my picture is right or not, but this is a picture that this verse has always given to me. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. You know, the people of God came together to worship in one central location there. And the people would come at certain times of the year, and they were called to the temple. And all these people were coming from out in the fields in the country, from miles around, and they were headed in one direction. And they were gathering together in companies and families, walking together, and they were singing and talking. And they were excited about gathering together to worship. And there was this joyful sound as you were there and you heard others coming. And you had that aspect of it. And they got into the temple, and then you had the priests. And the priests were in there ministering inside the temple, and they had those little bells on the bottom of their garments, and the tinkling that went along. It was a joyful sound. True light creates a blessed experience. True light creates a blessed experience. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that sound of saints coming together in harmony and blending their voices and worship and praise and adoration to a God to the God who has saved them and has washed them and made them new creatures in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." That means a special called out people, "that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Be a candle. This morning I ask this question to each one of us. Is a Christian life a joy to you? Are you enjoying walking with the Lord? Has it been a positive experience? Have you been called out of darkness into his marvelous light? Do we know the joyful sound of walking with the Lord in harmony with the brotherhood? Is that part of our lives today? How is church life here at Pine Creek? Is it evident to the world around you that you come together and sing together and you love each other? And when they drive past on Sunday morning and they see the parking lot full, do they expect the same on Wednesday evening when you gather for prayer meeting? Do they see that? Is that what they see in the Pine Creek Mennonite Church? Is there peace among you that can be seen and felt? Is that the experience that we have, that you have here in your congregation? So I'd like to just leave this challenge with us here this morning as we think about, I started the message today with a thought about the proverb, it's better to be a candle, to light a candle than to curse the darkness. "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And let's be people that have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And let's be a congregation that truly loves to serve the Lord, has a heart for the community around us, and who knows what it means to experience the light of Jesus Christ changing us in our hearts. Let's kneel for prayer this time.